We come together to call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Psalm chapter 18, verse 3, NRSV. All are sincerely welcome to this service of worship and praise. My name is Barb Mostaghimi, and I am a member of the Zion Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHEC Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys, concerns, and turn it in to the ushers during passing of the peace. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by David and Betty Jo Brown in honor of their 52nd wedding anniversary. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. We welcome Pastor Mary K. Ashley for being here today and sharing her message with us. There are new office hours beginning on Monday, August 17th. Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 12 o'clock p.m. and 1 o'clock p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Fridays, by appointment. The Leaser Food Shelf is accepting donations of school supplies for local students. Bring your donations to Zion during the month of August. The Zion Bell and Adult Choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, please contact Pastor Susan. Rehearsals begin on September 9th. On Sunday, September 13th, the members of Zion who have reached the age of 90 and older will be honored and celebrated. Please mark this date on the calendar and plan to join the members of Zion in worship. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us prepare for worship.
Well, hello everyone. In our scripture passage for today, Joseph's brothers receive a really big surprise. So, I want you to think of the biggest surprise that you have ever had or could ever imagine. Maybe you have had some really good surprises. Maybe you had a surprise birthday party or you got a present that you did not expect. Maybe your parents took you on an awesome trip or vacation but didn't tell you about it beforehand. Or maybe you found out that you got to have your favorite treat or dessert. If you think hard, I'm sure that you can think of a lot of examples of good surprises. But I'm sure you could also think of some, well, not so good surprises. For example, maybe you had to go to school one day and your teacher has a surprise test or pop quiz for your class. No one ever thinks of that as a good surprise. Or maybe you get all ready for a bike ride and you find out that one of your tires has a flat for some reason. Or maybe you've looked forward to a camping trip or a day at the beach for a long time, but on the day that you wanted to go, surprise, it starts raining and storming outside. So, while you can probably think of good surprises, you can probably also think of some bad surprises as well. And in our scripture passage for today, Joseph's brothers can't decide if they have just had a good surprise or a bad surprise. You see, they just saw their brother Joseph again in Egypt for the very first time in many years, unexpectedly. They didn't even recognize him at first. Now, you might think that this should obviously be a good surprise. They get to see their long-lost brother again, but they don't know, because the last time they saw their brother, they did some really mean things to him. They took his special robe, threw him in a hole, and then sold him as a slave in Egypt. And now that he has become a pretty powerful person, maybe he wants to get revenge on them. But it turns out that seeing Joseph again did come as a good surprise. Joseph trusted in God. Joseph knew that God stood by his side and took care of him, even when his brothers did some super mean things to him. And Joseph knew that God would want him to forgive his brothers rather than get revenge. So Joseph stood by their side and took care of them. When they desperately needed food, he gave it to them. And the Bible teaches us that we should act like Joseph. We should forgive and show kindness to people, even when they do mean things to us, just like God forgives us. And I hope that helps you to understand our scripture passage just a little bit better. Goodbye, everyone.
Please join in the call to worship. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. God's house is a house of prayer for all nations, welcoming the outsider, the seeker, and the friend.
Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise your name.
Open your hearts to receive God's mercy and abundant grace today.
We lift our voices in joy to worship our God together. Merciful God, we confess that we often struggle to live in the unity you desire for us. We allow differences to divide us, and we build walls where you have called us to build bridges. We have withheld our love from others, let judgment cloud our hearts, and remain silent when we should have spoken for peace. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us of our selfishness, heal our broken relationships, and teach us how to truly love our neighbors as ourselves. Renew our hearts so that we may witness to your grace in everything we do. Amen. Hear the good news. God's love is wider than our shortcomings, and God's mercy is made new every single morning. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and set free to try again. Go forth in peace, knowing you are loved and restored.
Thanks be to God.
With you always.
And
dear friends, you can tell a new pastor because she doesn't know what order you do things in or exactly how you do things. And I can learn, I promise. But I demonstrated yesterday that I am a person of patterns because I tried to look up where Zion Lutheran was in Le Sueur. And my phone would give me no information. And then I went, oh, it's not Lutheran, it's UCC. And then it got me right here. So, the prayers of the people, I understand, are the things I have been handed. Is that correct? Okay. Then let us pray for these beloved ones. We pray for Peter Braun, for prayers for continued healing. Help help us to remember him in our prayers. We pray for healing prayers for Shelby Leaders at Waconia Hospital, and we pray that she will have continued healing. And we pray for Darwin Wilhite, who's having a kidney transplant. And we thank God for people who share kidneys as well. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to care, reminding us to pray, and trusting in your love for us all and all people. Amen. Then we say the Lord's Prayer. Correct? Good. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
First reading is from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years, in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Our next reading is from Isaiah, the 56th chapter, verses 6 through 8. "And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen.
Good morning. We are happy today to welcome to our pulpit Pastor Mary Kay Ashley. She's a very experienced pastor with 7 interims in the last 5 years, 4 settled calls during her career, which began with her first call in Moundsview. She did prepare a very detailed biography, which I forgot to bring, so I'm kind of giving you the bits and pieces, and she's promised that she will fill in, flush it out for those who are interested in meeting her and knowing more about her. So please make welcome to our pastor, Mary Kay Ashley, this morning.
I think I have the mic on. Does it interfere if I use both of them?
Not so far.
We're good. Okay, good. It's not working? Okay. There seems to be some mixed sense of that. And that is what most churches are made of. Then I invite you, I will comment on that, what Eileen said, and then I will. I know you don't have coffee after worship, but I will stay around as long as you want to answer any questions you want to know about, because I did send an 8-page resume, because I'm old. But I'm happy to answer any questions you have then. Before worship, I was trying to get my sermon printed because at my home church last night, it wouldn't do it either. So now we have the sermon. I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. From Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman came came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. All his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Okay, I have one more question. I'm hearing some interference. And
try and adjust your mic a little bit.
Okay. This one or that one?
This one.
Okay. So sorry, folks.
Try that. See how it...
Okay. Do we have any interference then?
We're still getting a lot of air.
Sorry about that.
No, we're... Try that.
Okay. Is this better? It sounds better. Good. We'll get it. I'm sorry that I didn't have that done before. Good morning, people of Zion, and family, and neighbors, and friends, and visitors. I'm delighted to be back with you today, as I had a lovely time when I was here last a while back, within the last couple of years, but I don't remember exactly when. We have some very interesting scriptures to look at today, and I trust God will bless us and be with us in our worship and learning. What might it feel like to walk in here this morning and feel like you don't really belong? I don't feel that way because of the kindness and hospitality extended to me on my first visit. But what if you or I were here with some concerns? It could be that you don't feel you have the right clothes for worship, or you don't know many people, or you just don't know why we do some of the things we do. What is that basket passed for?
off and just use okay. this one. See if that works.
I'll try that. Thank you. Okay. Sounds good. If you can't hear me on this one alone, just raise your hand and we'll figure it out. I promise.
I think that's a sign. It's good.
Yes, I saw that too. Thank you. So what do we pass a basket for? Why might you see someone making motions in front of themselves at certain times in certain churches? Why so much standing and sitting? What does it all mean anyway? Our gospel reading from Matthew is a fascinating account of an incident in Jesus' ministry. The writer of Matthew names a Canaanite woman, even though there were no more Canaanites by the time this happened. Once sworn enemies of the house of Israel, they are no more at the time this happened. So why name the woman's ethnicity as someone who she wasn't? A later change from the account in Mark's gospel, where she is labeled a Syrophoenician woman. Why? To be inflammatory. To get attention. To make the point to the Jews whom Matthew wrote for, how broad was the spread of God's mercy. I could make a similar inflammatory edit, but you must, please, listen to the rest of the sermon. It is as if Matthew wrote today and said, Vladimir Putin came to Jesus to beg for the healing of his daughter. I imagine that some of you cannot get past even the thought that this person might receive mercy from Jesus. But I believe that is precisely the reason Matthew makes the woman a Canaanite. Kyrie eleison, the woman says in Greek, Lord, have mercy. Her daughter has a demon and needs healing. Where, how far would you go to seek healing for someone you loved? Would you go to Mayo Clinic? Would you travel to Johns Hopkins University or to Mexico for an experimental treatment? Or to Switzerland for a medication not yet approved here in the United States? I believe you would do anything in your power and ability and means to find what your loved one needs. So the Canaanite woman came to Jesus. Women did not talk to men with good reputations, and they certainly did not begin the conversation. But she comes to where Jesus is with his disciples, where he is teaching, and it seems offending the sensibilities of the Pharisees. And she comes begging after Jesus, help me. Woman, he says, I have come to save the house of Israel. Did this woman press Jesus to see the breadth of the mission he was called to? Some are offended to suggest that anyone could change Jesus. But if, as we profess, Jesus was fully human, came as a baby, needed care, learned from and taught by the rabbis in the temple, and taught the rabbis. He was really human. At the miracle at Cana, Jesus tells his mother, it is not my time, when she wants him to make the water into wine. But she pushes, and he turns water into wine. Are we offended because the one pushing him is a woman? They dialogue. He heals. He hears the need, and in the compassion that is fully a part of the divine and human Jesus, he heals. And he heals from afar with just a word. Who would we omit? Who would we have trouble seeing Jesus heal? Who would we fail to welcome to this place to hear this good news? Children who can't sit still? The mentally ill in our town with inadequate care and support? Those who eat or speak differently from us? Those who have been imprisoned and guilty of crimes against people? Jesus acts to show mercy for everyone. I'd like to try an experiment. I'd like to ask you what makes you feel welcome or unwelcome. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to write down something on a piece of paper or a prayer card or something. And if you're willing, only if you're willing to, write down some of what makes you feel welcome or unwelcome and hand it to me after worship. I would be happy to have conversation with anyone about that, but I'm really interested in that piece. Because I think sometimes we guess that different things make people feel welcome or unwelcome. If you can share it with me, you can hand it to me on the way out. You don't need to sign it unless you'd like to talk with me about it if I'm ever back. I will welcome your thoughts and not share with anyone your name attached, if it is. Even if you think back to the reflection piece that we played on the Genesis piece when Joseph was dropped into a hole by his brothers as a young boy and then sold as a slave, we could all understand that being pretty rough on their relationship. And yet when Joseph had an opportunity to help his brothers as an adult, he did. He followed God's will and was a role model for us all in not nurturing bitterness, but finding ways to bless, even though he was honestly harmed by the adult brothers he later chooses to help. Whether you believe, whether you belong, whether you are one who welcomes or feels deserving of welcome, God's mercy is for you. When we speak the words in our liturgy, "Lord, have mercy," we place ourselves in the sandals of the Canaanite woman. Jesus has mercy on her and on us. That's the message we're given to share. But first, hear that it is for you, because it is. Amen. Let us pray. Generous God, everything we have comes from your abundant grace. We offer back to you a portion of what you have so freely given us. Bless these gifts of time, talent, and treasure. Multiply them so they may bring comfort to the hurting, food to the hungry, and community to the lonely. Use our lives and our offerings to break down walls and build up your kingdom of love and peace. Amen. I'm going to share with you a sung benediction. You may want to learn it later at some point, but today I'm going to sing it solo. The Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord's face shine upon you, and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever, and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. For the radio audience, that is to music written by Michael Card, a Christian musician, and yes, I do have permission to broadcast it. Now, our recessional hymn.
Yeah.